Welcome to Local Church. We believe it's the perfect place for imperfect people. I'm Eric, one of the pastors here. And why don't you have a seat? Hey, if you're visiting with us today, we're doing things a little bit different today. So you may notice some people coming in. It's because what we've decided to do in this series is we've decided to flip things around. We decided to start by sharing God's word and hearing God's word, and then after that by worshiping together. And the real reason behind that is because I truly believe, and we've been praying about this leading up to this series, that after we hear God's word for us and God reveals his grace and God reveals his love toward us and shares with us who we are and what he wants of us, that when we come together and we spend time in worship and we sing our songs to God, that it becomes more of a time of burdens being lifted and hope being restored and chains being broken. When we know God's word for us, the response is worship. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start by hearing God's word. We're going to transition into worshiping by giving God our tithes and offerings, and then we're going to sing and we're going to celebrate together. And I truly believe, and I hope you believe with me, that today is going to be a day of rest and revelation. Amen. That we're going to be able to rest in his presence as he speaks to us and as he sings over us. And so to begin things today, I want you to turn your Bibles. You can open up your apps as well. We're going to be reading from the book of 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says this at the end of his ministry to his young disciple, his young protege Timothy. He says, "I have fought the good fight, Timothy, and I have finished the what?" Say it again. "I have finished this race. I have remained faithful in this race. And now that I've completed this race, that I've done what God has asked me to do, now there's a prize set before me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return." And listen, this prize, Timothy, is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. 12:30, anyone looking forward to the day when Jesus returns? Anyone looking forward to the day that he takes us home and we are in a place of peace and we are in a place of no more sorrow, no more sickness, that we are in a place of rest? Amen? I'm looking forward to that day where we can rest for all eternity in the loving presence of our God and our friend. But I also know the reality of 2019. And that rest has become something that we don't really see as important. Rest has sort of become a dirty word. Like, well, there's so much work for us to do, and we need to be so focused, and we put so much pressure on what needs to be done that we say, literally, "Hey, I'll rest when I'm dead," because we don't value rest. Does anyone remember the good old days? Like, when's the good old days? Whenever the good old days were for you. But what I'm saying specifically is the good old days of work, where you went to work and you did your work, and after work was done, you would leave your work at work and you'd go home and relax. Does anyone remember that? Very few, a few of us in here. I remember that, but you know what we're living right now? We're so connected. We put so much attention on what needs to happen, and we want to be better, and we want to run, and we want to fight, and we want to win. And we're so connected that we haven't learned how to rest. A recent study done last year shows that in America, the average person checks their cell phone 80 times a day. That's once every 12 minutes. Why? Because we're answering emails and we're sending off tweets and we're responding to text messages. And, hey, this needs to be done, and post this up on social media. And did I get the likes? I didn't get the likes. Well, I got to post something else up. And how come this person is complaining? And hey, this needs to be done. And we're so connected and we're so focused on what needs to be done and what we have to do for tomorrow that we're tired today. And so the big idea that I believe God wants to share with us today as we conclude this mini-series is this: that an important part of winning our race is learning to rest. Let me say that again for those of us who are workaholics. An important part of winning our race, if we want to run with endurance the race that God has set before us, we want to do all that God has commanded us to do and be all that God has created us to be, we want to run this race and we want to win this race and receive our prize, our crown, our rest with him in eternity, we have to learn how to rest today. No amens. No, no, no. I don't want your pity amens. So I heard a few years ago when the Summer Olympics were happening, I watched this interview of these top-level Olympic athletes, and they began to explain their training regimen. And it sort of blew me away just how hard they train, but then I'm realizing, no, these are world-class athletes. Why am I so shocked? And so they began to explain how they wake up in the morning, and they eat a very healthy breakfast, and then they work. They do their work. They train hard for about 4 to 5 hours. Then they'll take a break, and they'll have some lunch, and they'll review the tapes, and they'll talk about things that they can improve on. And after their lunch, they go right back into working. They'll work another 4 or 5 hours. And then they'll take a break for dinner and they'll talk through things again and they'll say, we need to do this tomorrow. But if the games that they were going to play, that they were going to participate in, were the next several months, oftentimes they would even work after dinner, working 12 to up to 16 hours a day. Again, world-class athletes. You got to put in the hard work if you want to be the best. But then they said something that actually shocked me. A little bit familiar, too. So they said, we do this work. We work 12 to 16 hours every single day for 6 days. And then we rest for 24 hours. I was expecting them to say, the reason we do this is because, you know, I worked at Chick-fil-A, and it was kind of modeled to me. You know, we rest on Sundays, or because I'm a Christian, it's part of my faith. Because I'm Jewish, it's part of my faith to take a Sabbath rest. But their answer was actually very simple. They said, the reason we work for 6 days and take 24 hours to literally do nothing but rest and relax is because it's simply a part of our regimen. That's it. We need to rest. Did you know that there's such a thing as overworking? Did you know that? You can overwork. You can even overproduce. They work 6 days and they rest 1 day. And what science is actually showing us is taking a day of rest is critical for peak performance. Another thing that I learned is that if they didn't rest, if an athlete does not rest for a day, they are actually only operating at 70% of their capacity and their potential. I mean, think about that. If we don't rest our bodies, if we don't rest our minds, they're saying we cap out at 70%. Now, I'm not an athlete. By no stretch do I consider myself an athlete. The only marathon that I look forward to is like a marathon of The Office on Netflix. That's about it for me. But I believe the same is true for me. And I believe the same is true for all of us in this room, that if we don't learn how to rest, we'll only operate at 70% capacity, 70% potential. I wonder how many of us are going to meet with God when he decides to take us home and we're going to say, hey, God, how did I do? Tell me, how did I live my life? How well did I do? How many of us is he going to look to and say, you did about 70%? What do you mean? I mean, I was always on the go. I was always working. I was always at church. I was always serving. I always provided. What more could I have done? No, no, no. It's you did too much. You didn't take time to stop and rest and refocus. You did too much. An important part of winning our race is learning to rest. We're in this series called R&R. And the reason we're in this series, let me just be honest with you. Let me give you behind the scenes. This isn't for you guys. This is for me. I need to learn how to properly rest. And for anyone else that needs to hear this, you can listen to me preach it myself today. Because maybe you're like me. And we get work. We get the race. I'm going to run this race with endurance. I'm going to do everything that God has called me to do. And so I'm going to push myself, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Maybe you're like me, and you're wondering, how come I'm doing all of this, and I don't feel blessed? How come I feel more stressed than blessed? Can I tell you? Can I tell us? It's because we don't know how to rest. God created us to rest. It is God's desire, it is God's design for us to rest. And God shows this all throughout creation. He has created and programmed us to need rest. And I'm not simply talking about Sabbath. We talked about Sabbath last week. I'm simply practically talking about sleep today. Did you know that you will get sick if you don't sleep? Yeah? And I'm not talking, oh, I feel sick or my back hurts. I'm talking you will die. Your mind can't take it. Your body can't take it. Listen, God could have made us to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, but he didn't make us to do that, and he didn't make a mistake. Why can't we work all the time? God knows we can work all the time. A lot of us in this room, we have a hard work ethic. We'll do whatever it takes. Why did God create us this way? Because using up all of our hours isn't living life. Always being on the go is not really living life, at least not the life that God wants us to have. And so he's programmed into creation the need for rest, the need for sleep. We will get sick if we don't rest, and God knows that. And so you know what God did in creation? He's so beautiful, he's so creative, and so brilliant that he knows we will work all throughout the clock. And so what does he do? He darkens the sky. You're going to work for half the day, and then for the other half of the day, I love you so much. I know you will not quit, so I'm going to turn off the lights. I mean, in an agrarian society, in the time of Jesus and after Jesus and even before Jesus, they didn't have electricity. And they had to work for what they had, and they had to work their fields and work their hands. And if they wanted more, they have to work more. But God says, I don't want you to overwork, and so I'm literally going to cut out the lights because I need you to rest. We need to learn how to rest. God didn't just program into us the need for sleep, the need for rest. God put it in creation, the need for rest. Do you know that even the dirt has to rest? Seriously, the dirt has to rest. God told his people Israel, I want you to farm for 6 years, but on the seventh year, I want you to let that ground rest. In Exodus 23:10, he says, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own and leave the rest for wild animals to eat. And the same applies to your vineyards and to your olive groves. And if I'm an Israelite thousands of years ago, I'm wondering, why, God? Why do you want me to let it rest for a year? How are we going to get through this? So what God promises is, while you rest, I will bless. When you do nothing, I will do everything. On that sixth year, I will give you a double harvest. Some of us were thinking right now, oh, that's awesome. You know, more money, more money, more money. And what would we do if that was us today? We got double the profits? Well, let's keep on doing this. Let's work harder because maybe next year we can get triple or quadruple the profits. God says, no. I blessed you with double because on the seventh year, you let that ground rest. And you use the double of what I've given you to carry you through that year. I've done the work. You just need to rest. Yeah, but that's ancient history. No. Did you know that today, if you drive to a farming society anywhere in America, you will probably find one out of every seven fields, what they call lying fallow, resting, doing nothing. Why? Thousands of years ago, God just commanded Israel to obey that command. Just let it rest. But what modern agricultural science has shown us is that when you let the dirt rest, it's actually important for peak performance. You can produce more when you let the ground lay fallow. God made the dirt even to rest. And it's an important step for us to rest, for our future productivity. It's an important part for the ground to rest, the earth to rest, for future productivity. And so we have to learn how to rest, Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes and smile, 12:30. Tell them, you got to learn how to rest. You got to learn how to rest. They're looking back at you. No, if I rest, you don't know what's going to happen. No, you got to learn how to rest. Look them back in the eyes and say, and stop with your excuses. We come up with all these excuses of why we can't rest. I own my own business. My family depends on it. I need to get the grade. And if I rest, it's not going to get done. And if I'm not the one doing the work isn't going to get done. And without me, they can't do anything. It will fall apart without me. You're right. That's why you need to rest. My pastor, my mentor, several years ago told me something that's been sticking with me, and I'm feeling the effects of it today. He said, the pastor who's always available will not always be available. The pastor who's always available will not always be available. And he told me this when I was a little bit younger. I'm thinking, nah, I can do it. I can push on. I can work 80 hours a week. I can do whatever comes my way. Whatever it takes, we're going to go the extra mile. But now I'm 38, and I'm beginning to realize how true that is. If I answer every single phone call and respond to every single email or every single complaint, yes, people complain. If I preach every single service and I go to every funeral and I do every wedding and I lead every staff meeting, let me tell you, I can do it. But just not for long. And I'm so thankful that we have a team of leadership here that believes in the importance of rest. Amen. That our strategic leadership team, our pastors, and our board of directors have forced me to rest in the month of July. Take time off. Don't teach on the weekends. Rest in July. Because the pastor who's always available will not always be available. Can I tell you, it's not just me, though? It's us. The person who's always available is not always going to be available. If you're always working, if you're always looking at profits and losses, if you're always looking at responsibilities, if you're always looking at doing more and being better, you're not always going to be available. And you're not going to be available for what matters most. And it's not your work. It's your family. It's your spouse, it's your children, it's your friends, it's your church familia. It's you. How can we love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't take the time to rest ourselves? And so I have to force myself to rest. Now, I want to make this clear, okay, because I see some of your faces. You're wondering, what's wrong with Pastor Eric? He hasn't put gel in his hair over the past several weeks. He's not wearing a jacket today. Now he's talking about not teaching in July. Is everything okay? Everything is okay. I'm not having a nervous breakdown. There's no issues or anything like that. This is why I need to rest, because I want to be here for a very long time. I want to see us break ground on a new worship facility in December 2020 so we can invite more people in our local community and let them know the love of Jesus that he has for them. I want to see that come to pass. And over the next 25 years, I want to see our vision come to pass of building a city center where people in our local community can come and receive love and can receive care, and single moms can receive support, and elderly can find community, and children who don't have anything to do after school, they can learn about Jesus, they can learn instruments, they can learn music, they can learn production, that they can come and we can be a beacon of light in our local community. I want to see that come to pass, and so I need to learn how to rest. I want to see our little ones in Kid Street grow up and graduate college and live full lives for Jesus, but I got to learn how to rest. An important part of winning our race, of doing what God has called us to do, is learning how to rest. And so how we're going to rest as a church familia, we're going to rest together As we prepare for an accelerated season of growth and transformation this fall, I can't wait to share with you what God is doing next here at this church and some awesome things that are in store. But we're going to prepare ourselves by resting until that point. So starting in July, which is next week, we're moving to a summer schedule. Now, on Sunday, doesn't really affect many of us here unless we're going to decide to come to a Saturday night because we're going to go somewhere on Sunday. But starting next week, we're moving to a summer schedule. It's our normal Sunday service times where we're going to be starting a series called Sunday Fun Days. And what we want is for us to take time to rest and relax with our families on Saturday and then come and worship God with our church familia on Sundays. And it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a special treat to cool us down all through the month of July. We want you to get here early. We want you to get here on time. It's going to be a great time. Kids Street will be available at all three Sunday morning services. It's a fun and safe environment where your kids can learn about Jesus on their level at the 11 and 12:30. Our few student ministry for middle schoolers will be happening. They can connect with other people, grow in their faith. Every Sunday, as opposed to Saturday, we have an incredible cafe team. Can we give it up for our cafe team? Man! And they always have a sweet and a savory breakfast for us. And let me tell you, I'll preach on this when I come back in August. But do you know that sometimes the most godly thing you can do is eat? It's biblical, y'all. Take a nap, eat a sandwich. It's biblical. And so I'm thankful, and that's what's going to happen on Sundays. And I just want to encourage you, you know, for you to come to one service and then serve at another service with your family. Lead by example that it's important to rest with your family for what's important, and it's important to have revelation in the presence of God as he reveals himself. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments, but that's how we're going to rest. And we still believe that the best is before us, amen. But we have to learn how to rest. We have to learn the importance of resting. And if we don't rest, I'm not going to teach in July, so I'm just going to say, you'll forget it, and you won't get mad at me. And I'm not going to respond to your complaints anyway, so I'm just going to be harsh and say it. If you don't rest, you're not trusting God. But I need, no. You're not trusting God. I have all these plates that I'm spinning, and if I stop working, they're going to fall, and they're going to crash, and everything's going to fall apart. He's God. You don't think he can carry that? The one who holds the cosmos in order, you don't think that he can carry what you're going through. See, God's will doesn't punish anybody. And God's will for you and me is to rest. And if we can't rest, we are not obeying God. Psalm 121, the psalmist, he asks a question I think a lot of us do. He says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Because I'm looking around and I got deadlines and I got debt and I got this report I have to write and I have this money I got to raise so my kid can go to soccer camp and this project is due and I got to do this thing for the building. My enemies are surrounding me. No one's appreciating me. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And not that we have to define who the Lord is. And not that we have to qualify his strength and his power. But the writer says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who knows you more intimately than yourself. The one who's numbered the hairs on your head. The one who by his words, light is formed and galaxies come into existence. He's our help. And listen to what it says in verse 3. It says, he will not let your foot slip. He's not going to let you trip up. He's not going to let those plates fall. No. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Where does our help come from? From God. Creator. God, more intimately the Father who loves you. And listen, it says that he never slumbers nor sleeps. If God doesn't fall asleep, he rested as an example for us, but now God is always working. And if God never slumbers or sleeps, if God never rests in working all things together for our good, tell me, what's the point in us working around the clock? There's no need. When we rest, he works, he blesses. When we do nothing, he does everything. Do you trust him? And rest. We can lay down. We can nap. We can close our eyes. We can rest. Philippians 1:16, it says that I am certain, I am confident that God who began the good work, he started the work, that God who began it, he will see it. He will continue it until the day that it is finally finished when Jesus returns. He started it. He will finish it. So we can rest. I know this looks a little bit strange for some of you right now. You're like, is that allowed? But my point is this. That the person who knows how to rest, knows that God doesn't. I can lay my head back while everyone is toiling because I know that God isn't resting on my behalf. But you think about it, the children of Israel, 24 hours, one day a week, they did nothing. The rest of the world is watching. How? How are they so blessed? How can they do what we do and greater? It's like Chick-fil-A, right? Listen, I'm not joking. I don't say this lightly. I didn't say it's the other services, but this is the best service ever. I believe Chick-fil-A is a prime example of God's blessing while we're resting. You have to stay open 7 days a week to keep up? No. No, you just provide a really good meal, an excellent customer service, and you do everything you do unto the Lord and not to man, and you rest when God says rest, and God will bless. Third profitable fast food in all the nations. That's God's favor right there. So you're like, I want Chick-fil-A. You can't get it today because they're trusting God. See, last night someone was here with one of their employees. They invited one of their employees to church and said, see, the pastor says I got to rest, so I'm going to take all week off. No, listen, I'm not saying be lazy. There's a difference of resting and doing nothing all week long. God says, work 6 days. Go the extra mile. Give it your best. You're not doing this for man. You're not doing this for approval. You're not doing this for profits. You're doing it for me. So you do it in a way that is excellent, but then you rest, and the world will wonder, how? He did it for the nation of Israel. How much more us, his children? I don't know why you're sad today. I don't know why some of you feel a burden on your shoulders. I don't know why some of you can't smile when we're talking about resting, but I do know the answer. And his name is Jesus. He's accomplished literally everything so that we could be his children and his friends. It is finished, he said. Now we can rest. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Important part of winning our race is learning to rest. And so last week we talked about Sabbath, how Sabbath was a day set apart by God to rest and remember. Today I want to talk about the practical parts of resting. I want to talk about what happens when we rest. I want to talk about the restoration that we feel when we rest. I want to talk about the relaxation that we feel when we rest. And actually, if we had more time, we could do a much longer series on this. And I would tell you of all the practical things that I do to rest, because rest is important. Amen? I watch a movie every single week. I go to AMC, I got my A-list. A pastor shouldn't do that. Well, you know what? I'm resting. I'm just letting my mind wander off and laugh for 90 minutes. I love reading books. I read a book a week. Humble brag right there. But you know why? Because I'm restored when I read. I get confidence from God when I learn new things. For a lot of people, cooking is work. It's not work for me. I rest when I cook. I rest when I eat. Oh, man. I love eating. I love eating with friends. I love spending time sharing a meal. It's rest for me. Singing songs, listening to music, going on vacation. I can't stress enough how time off is paramount to our rest. Some of you, you're nudging your spouse right now. We have to take time off. Listen, that's your permission slip from God. The pastor said it. Go on vacation. Do you trust him? Then rest. But I do need to say this. We don't have enough time to talk about everything, but I do want to say this. That relaxation is only part of what real rest is. Relaxation and time away and time off is not full rest. See, maybe you're like me, and maybe time off and maybe that type of relaxation, vacation, isn't rest for you. Maybe it's responsibility. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Especially when there's little kids involved. Like, it's work going on a trip. They're complaining, they're whining. We don't have a kitchen in the hotel room, so we have to go out, and then I have to strap my kid in a car seat, and that always takes so much time. The kids can't find their shoes, and we're not at home, so we don't have the toys, and they're always wanting something to do, and it's not our beds, and so we're not sleeping well, and we're always tired. Sometimes our time off and our vacation is not relaxation, it's responsibility. And what I don't want to happen is for us just to simply say, if I take time off, if I take time to myself, if I go off somewhere, then I'm going to experience rest. Can I tell you, it's not enough. It's important. It's paramount. Hear me, but it's not enough. And so here's what I want to leave us with today. That relaxation is not simply resting. Resting doesn't simply mean relaxing. Real rest. Rest for our souls. It requires revelation. Not just relaxation, but revelation from God. Now, listen, I'm not saying the last book of the New Testament. I'm not saying you need to know what those locusts were and how much blood was on the bridle of the horses for you to rest. No, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about relationship with God. I'm talking about him revealing who he is when we're in his presence. Real rest requires that type of revelation. God, I know who you are. I know what you say of me. I know who I am in you. And this is why we come together. And this is why worshiping him on Sunday isn't work. I serve at church, you know. I don't have a Sabbath day. No, when we come together and when we serve God, it's a form of rest because he's revealing himself. Listen, I'm using you, sinful, broken, had a bad week, you, to put a smile on someone else's face, to make them feel welcome. This is why we come together and we hear his words. Because he's revealing himself. He's saying, I love you, and I'm for you, and I've given you my son Jesus, and I can transform you, and my word can give you life and transform you from the inside out. This is why we give to God. It's not work, it's rest, because we're saying, Lord, I trust you. I had to work hard for this, but I'm giving it to you, believing that you can do far more with this than I can do by the sweat of my brow. So I'm trusting you. And God provides, and God blesses. It's rest. We need revelation. We need God to reveal himself to us, his love for us. And that's where real rest comes. It's how we receive. Now, I even know that me just saying that, some of you have already switched on to work mode. Well, I'm going to come to more services, and I'm going to read more Bible, and I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to give more, and I'm going to be like the best VIP servant. Yeah, look how much I'm doing for Jesus. And now you've taken this gift that God has given you for rest, and you've turned into something corrupt. See, I'm not saying don't spend time in his word. I'm certainly not. You need to. I'm not saying don't come to church. You need to. Get here early next week. Let's worship together. I'm saying check your motivation. If your motivation is to work for God and not walk with Him, that's not relationship. If your thoughts on your relationship with God is what I failed to do, what I need to do, that's not relationship. That's a dictatorship. And that's not the heart of our Heavenly Father, and that's not the heart of Jesus. He wants us to rest in His work, to rest in His presence, so He can give us revelation of who He is and who we are to Him. And that will give peace and rest to our souls. Matthew 11:28, read this last week as we concluded a teaching portion of our worship. I want to read it again, and I want to read it from Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase. Incredible man of God who had this gift of taking God's word and making it understandable so that everyone could access God's word. So as we read this, this isn't the words of Eugene Peterson. This isn't the words of Erica Merrill. Let this be the voice of God speaking over you, inviting you to rest. He says, are you tired? Yeah. Worn out. My mind is moving a million miles an hour. Burned out on religion. I try so hard to do so much, and I fail. I feel like I'm letting God down. What does He say? Come to Me. Come to Me. Get away with Me. Go on vacation with Me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. If it doesn't fit you, I didn't have it for you, so you don't have to try to fit into things that weren't for you. My burden isn't heavy. Keep company with Me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's an invitation. Come. Be with Me. Go away with Me. Take time to walk with Me. And we'll find rest for our souls. Not just our mind, not just our bodies, and some of our bodies feel so tired, but our souls. The center of who we are. Rest happens when we have revelation. And I understand that for some of us, when we spend time reading God's word, it feels like work. I don't know what I'm reading. I don't understand this. But can I tell you, when we take time to spend in His word with the motivation of, I want to know You, supernatural rest comes upon our soul. Some of us, we didn't major in Old English, and so we don't know how to pray right. And we're saying, you know, how many thous and thines should I say in my prayer? And do I have to call Him Lord Jesus, Father God, every time I make a request? Can I make a request? Can I pray about, you know, my dinner tonight? Can I pray about winning the lot? I don't know what to pray. And so, no, listen, when we take time with the motivation that I want to know You, God, in prayer, supernatural rest comes upon us. When we serve together, when we give together, when we work with one another, rest happens at the soul level. That's what He's inviting us to. So I've done my part, and we can spend a few more weeks talking about this, but what I think is going to work far better is for us to experience.